If you're just tuning into Nevada Noisemakers, I'm sitting with Thomas of Me and My Kidney and Faded Prisms. Hey there, Thomas.
Hey, what's up?
Thomas has just released his recent project, Magical Girl Coma, which you can find on all streaming services. So, Thomas, the first thing I want to ask you is how you got the name Me and My Kidney. It's just such a unique name. I'd love to hear the origination behind it.
Yeah, it's bizarre. Let's see. Around the time I came up with the name, I was using a different name right before that, because originally I started making noise music with the same SoundCloud account that I use now. Yeah, I just had like random names that I would upload, and throughout like senior years when I started being more serious about it, so I would like write names for different songs, and it was just supposed to be a song name, and then I say, oh, I kind of like this as my name, so I just took it, and it's just kind of like a random phrase. So I was like, I don't know, it fit well for me.
That's interesting, because it's a songwriting technique. At least as far as a song goes, it can be very intimidating to say, oh, okay, I'm gonna sit down and I'm gonna write a song today. But if you've got your notes app out or something, and you're just jotting down idioms, you know, throughout the day, is that something that is easier for you to channel inspiration throughout that method?
Sometimes, because like I usually like making phrases, and then those phrases can be used for anything, usually just titles, but I kind of make sure they're in like a aesthetic that I like a lot. So usually I'll put in like some like tech word and then mix it with something else, and then it usually just gives me ideas, or like how I would feel if that song was already a song, I guess.
So when it comes to naming tracks, because you do have some pretty eclectically named tracks and projects, when you have a name for something, does that influence the final product of a song or a project?
Yeah, sometimes when I'm getting stuck midway through like a longer project, like an album, I'll just name the last couple slots, and I don't change them at all. So I have to make sure I make something that fits towards that I feel comfortable with, that like I guess achieves that name. So yeah. It's a weird process, but for me, it like pushes me.
Yeah, it keeps you motivated, and it channels inspiration, and that's it's pretty ingenious actually, because it's way less daunting than saying, oh, okay, I've got half of the album to finish. You know, where do I even start? I've got all these ideas. It can be very easy to succumb to writer's block that way, but that's a very ingenious method, in my opinion, at least. And as far as your aura as a musician, because the first time I saw you live was with Faded Prisms, and we'll talk a little bit more about you and Angel of Faded Prisms in just a moment, but you have this very mysterious aura about you. You know, at least when I saw you live back in 2018, and anybody I would ask would just say, oh, he's just, you know, mysterious. It's more of an enclosed vibe, if that makes sense. I'm not being too specific here with my jargon, but I want to know if that's something you set out to do, first off, and then second off, I want to know if Me and My Kidney sort of helped you evolve from that either state of mind or perspective.
I think like naturally it's just something that I do. I spend a lot of time by myself doing a lot of stuff that like not really going out. I mean, like I'll talk to my friends and stuff and hang out with them, but I usually prefer staying home, working on music, playing games, watching movies on my own, and just doing stuff like that. Just because, like, I feel the most comfortable that way. So, yeah, especially when I'm out in public, it's kind of difficult to, I guess, interact with people. So that's why, like, at shows especially, I just kind of stay in my group or just go on my phone a lot of the time. That way, just to, like, I don't know, I just have trouble talking to people usually. Oh, yeah, it's, like, not on purpose. It's just, like, how I react, I guess.
It's just something natural that comes to you, and it's very interesting. I want to know when you started performing as more of an interest.
Okay, yeah, I've been playing since freshman year. Me and Angel started playing together junior year.
And you're self-taught as far as guitar?
Oh, yes. Guitar is self-taught.
Wow, nice.
Yeah. So I've just been, you know, trying to learn. Well, I don't know. That stuff, I like having it a bit more free-form, the way I play. Especially with like effects and stuff, I like being more experimental with that, as opposed to piano, which I'm learning right now classically. I feel like that's the biggest thing that confuses me, is when I'm playing music live, I lose a lot of the stress I have of being like out in public natural. So it's a bizarre thing because it just lets me, I guess, release the tension that I have.
Yeah, that's quite a phenomenon to just shed your skin on stage like that. Because someone who's more sociable, like me, for example, the moment I get in front of a crowd of people, I get weak in the knees, you know? So that's a huge contrast to how you feel. And as far as Faded Prisms go, because you did say it's a bit more freeform, I want to know if you guys had always been planning to release music and put it out there.
Oh, that's tough. Well, I do like playing live. My biggest goal for a while before like everything got all crazy was I wanted us to play out of state really bad and like start getting out there. Because like when I watch like interviews of bands that I like, that a lot of them just say, go out there and tour. And it seems to like, I don't know. And I was like, all right, I want to do that. But it was just like hard setting up because I'd never done that before. So it was just kind of like, where do I start? And then like, I think when we first started, it was like, all right, let's play and like write songs. I think we both see them as equal parts. It's like, we like playing and we want to record so we can, I guess, have people listen to it at home. I'm not a big fan of how my guitar sounds recorded though. I feel like it loses a lot of stuff I feel when we play live, which is a natural, you can't really fight it, but I don't know, it's just kind of a bummer to me.
I actually agree with you, at least with that sentiment, in that your music sort of loses a bit of energy when it's recorded because it's just such a unique experience live that you don't get anywhere else. You know, and it's the opposite way for a lot of other bands, is that they record a ton of music and then the moment they play live, it loses its spark, it loses its energy. But I think that's what's beautiful about just seeing you and Faded Prisms live, which is just you and Angel, is that just a guy with a guitar and a guy with a drum kit, and it's so minimal, but it's just so out there and unique, you know? And it doesn't have to be a bunch of just noise rock, or it doesn't have to be a bunch of shoegaze. And you can't put it in a box, essentially. And that's what I love so much about it. And, I mean, that's why you're here, is just because I saw you back in 2018. And the burning question is, because I've known you, or at least been a fan of your work, for such a long amount of time, is what prompted Me and My Kidney? Because I remember when New Dreams came out, which, for those who are listening, is your first project that was released on all streaming services under Me and My Kidney. I remember thinking, where did this come from? Like, this is a completely different type of music, if not on the opposite end of the spectrum of where Faded Prisms is. So I want to know what catalyzed that, and if you had always been making that type of music.
One of my close friends, Julian, who makes music under Slug Boy, he was, like, my biggest influence, like, with music, and he'd, like, show me bands and artists when I was in high school. And my senior year, I wanted to get into doing electronic music, because he had shown me a breakcore compilation by this Japanese artist called Psych Outs. And I was like, because that compilation's really good because it's just like cute breakcore with like anime samples. And I was like, well, what is this? I've never heard anything like this. And it's fast, which I love fast music. So I was like, ooh. So I was just asking, I was like, oh, how do I do something? And he's like, oh, I use Ableton. So I was trying it out and I was like, this is bizarre. It's like, I have no idea what this is. And so I didn't really get into it that much right away. And then I'd probably say a year later, once I started college, I was just messing around with it, because I had also messed with hardware since in high school. So after just like messing around a bit, I eventually started getting the hang of it, looking into more genres, trying to make like, I guess, dance music. The tracks are like too long and too repetitive though, and I was like, ooh, these are not like the greatest. But I just kept messing around with it, had a lot of fun. Then I guess like I just started wanting to put more time into it. And then especially once we couldn't play shows, Faded Prisms couldn't, I was like, oh, maybe I'll spend some more time in Ableton and just try to like program stuff and learn stuff. And so I've just been doing that a lot lately. So
this whole pandemic sort of made you more comfortable with self-production.
Yeah.
And as you mentioned earlier, you're no stranger to isolation. In fact, it's where you're more comfortable. So this whole pandemic has gotten you to work on music and explore an outlet that otherwise you might possibly have not had the time for. As far as Me and My Kidney goes, because you came out so suddenly, with this release, I was also very surprised at fast you kept cranking out new releases. You know, so you mentioned you had been messing with Ableton, you know, your senior year of high school. But I want to know a little bit more about the hardware, because I've seen some Instagram clips, at least on your story and on your feed, about where you're teasing with a pattern sequencer. Is it easier for you visually to use a piece of equipment like that?
I think that's what got me into it more, is messing. Once I bought my first sequencer, that was the Electron Digitone. Once I got that, which is the FM sequencer, I was like, oh, this is a lot of fun. I kind of get it now. And then so I saved up, got the Digitac, which is the 16 track sampler. Yeah. And then I was like, oh, okay. So I used those together, and those like just put it all together for me, because I'm able to sequence everything hardware wise with those. So I started testing out different things, and I was like, oh, okay. So it just clicked a bit more. Then went to Ableton and was able to I guess try to switch things over to the Ableton style of working with I forgot what you would call the view. I guess just like the arrangement view. So I started doing that, and I was like, oh, sequencers are basically the same. Just some, you know, you can mess with the time divisions. You can get more specific with it. So I was like, oh, okay. So it just started clicking a lot more after I used hardware for a bit.
Yeah, I find that it's a lot more visual, especially for someone like me who's not a producer by any means. But I do have a pattern sequencer in my keyboard, just to see the little lights flash up, you know, when you add a new track or patch.
Yeah.
It's very, not only encouraging, but it's just a different connection. And I want to know if, as far as the hardware goes, if you ever plan on playing guitar for me and my kid.
Oh, I've thought about it. I remember there was a track I was working on, like, a couple of years ago that had guitar in it. But it was just, like, a joke track. I, like, altered the guitar a lot, like, through effects, and then added a really weird drum pattern. But I thought about it recently. But I'm just not sure. I think I like having them kind of separate. Gives me a break from the other.
Yeah, it can be a bit of fresh air in between projects, to say. Or even, you know, you have a practice with Angel, and then you can come home and say, I'm going to work on this track, and not get burned out with either. I want to know if you're still working with Faded Prism.
Oh, yeah. We actually have, like, 3 new songs that we've been trying to perfect, like, and then we've, like, been going over one and just kind of switching it, because we have different arrangements that we want to try. So, well, I don't know. I feel like we'd have enough songs for a new album. So we're just trying to work on new stuff, get better, you know.
So do you produce the tracks yourself, or at least the past ones? Have they been produced by you?
For Favorite Prism?
Yeah, like 40 Piece Man.
Oh, no. Well, we use as local studios.
Oh, nice.
I think the first two, or first one, was Camel Hump, and then the last was with Asteroid M Records,
Asteroid M Records.
So that was our last time we recorded, which was pretty fun.
Well, to add on to that, because I'm always curious about how artists plan out releases. What makes them decide, I'm going to release an EP versus an album? And out of your 5 projects that are out on mainstreaming platforms, you've got Holding My Lung Close, which is an EP, and the other 4 are album. And it's curious to me as why you decide to release 6 tracks at a time instead of 10. Is there a justification or a thought process that you have?
It's like, I like keeping them close together. Like, if too much time overlaps, I'm like, oh, that was old, I'd probably release that as a single. So I like them, because I want them to be a bit cohesive, or at least to me. It's like, all right, I know I made those in the same time frame, so I like how they feel together. Yeah, I haven't really tried, like, taking something really old and then putting it with, like, a newer song and being like, oh, okay. Because usually by the time I release new stuff, I've learned, new techniques or how to make it sound better. So it's like, it's like a roadmap. So these are the songs I was working here. You can see the styles I was listening to, what I was trying to test out.
Right, that's a very fitting metaphor, because each of the projects are sort of in their own subsequent eras, right? You can definitely hear your production as both an instrumentalist and a producer as the projects continue to be released, especially with your most recent release. And when it comes to genre melding, you're all over the place. The only thing that really is consistent is that it's danceable and that you've got anime samples here and there, right? Is that a big part of how you make music or your process is anime?
It helps a lot. Like, visually, it, like, inspires me a lot. It's like, I don't know. It's just like a comforting thing to just, like, I don't know. Like, I surround myself with it now. Because I remember I'd seen an interview and someone had, like, a bunch of stuff around them. They're like, oh, yeah, I like working in an area that has, like, stuff that I really makes me feel comfortable and, like, brings my mood up. And I was like, oh, I'll try that. So I just put a bunch of anime stuff around. I was like, oh, yeah, my mood has upped a lot more. And just kind of, you know. But, yeah, it's one thing that really motivates me. Wow. That and, like, video games a lot. That's probably something that gives me a lot of ideas. And
yeah, it's just more stimulation, which is then channeled into inspiration. And you mentioned older tracks, which I find interesting that when you progress past a period of time where you make a certain number of tracks, you just sort of say, let bygones be bygones, let me just make new music. And that's something that I struggle with as a creative, is we all have so many ideas all of the time. And that's how writer's block comes into play. So the fact that you don't even, like, revitalize older tracks is very curious to me, because you must have tons of unused ideas that have been executed that never see the light of day.
Yeah, yeah. It's weird. I can usually kind of call it when I'm, like, after a few couple hours on the track, I'm like, I can tell that I'm not going to come back to this. But I'll do stuff to test it. Like, it might not get finished and put out, but I still think it was practice, at least. I need to test different things out. I'm like,
ah, I see. So you don't look at it as much as a lost idea. You look at it as practice to make better.
So sometimes I go out of my way to make something wild to see if anything cool comes out. I'm like, oh, okay, I can do this for later.
But there's never been a moment where you think, oh, this reminds me of an idea I had in the past. Let me go look at that and revitalize it with the new techniques I've
done. No, I haven't. I'll go through old projects just to, like, kind of laugh at them. Just be like, oh, this is silly. Why did I do that? Or, like, just look at, like, especially, like, really older stuff. I'm like, oh, that's strange. That's usually my reaction to it.
Yeah, I understand the extremes. Like, I'm going to practice this technique and make something completely wild, and I never have to put it out, right? But because you've been progressing so fast, do you look at stuff that you've already released, like New Dreams, for example, which was your first release? Do you look back on that and think, what was I doing?
No, not in, like, a negative way. Just, like, I'm like, okay, that one was really cool because, like, I feel it was the first time I took it really serious. So that one, I was like, ooh. Also, like, at the time, I was really focused on, like, PS1 era game soundtracks at the time. So for some reason, that always, like, reminds me of that. So I don't know. Usually when I look back on the albums, I'm like, oh, I'm surprised I did that. Or, like, I don't even know how I did that sometimes.
Because you're so different as an artist by the next point.
It's strange because, like, I almost forget how I was at that time when I write different songs or, like, any song. I'm like, oh, I, like, remember how to do it. Just, like, I don't remember what made me want to do it that way. So it's bizarre.
Especially when you spend so much time doing something that, you know, you become a different artist every couple of months. It must be unfamiliar to look back on something you released nearly a year ago and think, what was the thought process behind this? But I'm glad you said that about New Dreams, because that's one of my favorite projects in general. I, like, Born with an Acorn-Sized Heart, some of those tracks are just infectiously dance. It kind of is a gateway, at least for me it was, into this whole genre of J-hyperpop future funk that I would have just never discovered otherwise if it wasn't for your work in Faded Prisms and then transitively your work in Me and My Kidney. Yeah. So when it comes to playing live, because some of those tracks, I can't imagine how much they would get a room moving if you played them live. Is that something you've ever considered? Because I know you played briefly live pre-pandemic with Me and My Kidney.
Oh, yeah.
But is that something you want to start up again? And I want to add on to that and ask, if you're planning on starting that up again post-pandemic, would you do it by yourself or with a live band?
Yeah, so I would definitely do it by myself. It's something I've been thinking about. The more, like, the tracks have gotten a bit more solid, I'm like, oh, okay, this could actually sound good on, like a larger sound system. So I feel like I need a bit more songs in my catalog for me to feel really comfortable with, like, a dance setting. But I do want to look into it more. I just like, I don't know how I would start. Because like, I see different artists. Some usually have like a MIDI controller set up and are able to do live things. That's the hardest part is like, what do I do? Do I just show up and just kind of let them play? Or is there another way I can make it a bit more exciting, like visually?
That's a big predicament that I've heard people have, and not only had internally, because it comes to the question of, do I want this live performance to be unique? Do I want every performance that I play to be unique?
Yeah.
And 9 times out of 10, the answer is yes. You know, you don't want to show up to a gig, press the space bar on a computer, and pretend like you're doing something for an hour. You know, you want to make something real that connects with people, and then you want those people to be able to come to another show and hear something different. That's not, and that's the issue with a lot of electronic experimental music, is that it's hard to make that entertaining, visually appealing, and different without playing at EDC or something, you know?
Yeah, it's very tough, because like, since I'm not using hardware for a lot of it, it's all just like in my computer. I've seen people do it where like they'll play certain instruments for each track, which looks really good. Problem is, I usually like play it real quick, put it in, and then like clean it up a lot. So it's like, I don't know. There's different ways I've thought about it going through it. I was like, I could even DJ my own, which I see a lot of people do, which then I can make a bit more interesting. I can switch songs in and out and, you know, try messing around with that. But yeah, I don't know. I'm thinking about it.
Well, that's great to hear, because I would absolutely love to see you play live in any setting, whether it's a club or somebody's backyard, like a lot of Fate and Prism shows where, you know, I'll be there because it's just something that's essentially just as unique as Faded Prisms is. It's just out of the box, and it's uniquely you, which is what I love about both of them.
Thank you.
You don't have to be an expert in anime or J-pop or techno or anything to be a fan. Yeah. That's what I love about it. So, and I want to ask about a couple more things, because you mentioned the PS1 soundtrack and video game soundtracks. And a big pet peeve of mine is when people will take music in sort of this overarching genre and say, oh, it sounds like video game music.
Yes. You know? It's so frustrating.
Do you agree with that sentiment?
Yeah, no, it's funny, because one of my main goals is I'd like to compose for games. Just because, like, depending on, like, specific games, like, rhythm games especially, like, newer ones, they're more electronic-based, and then they're, like, mixing with, like, genres a lot. But a lot of other games, especially, like, PS1 and PS2 games, usually Japanese-only games, the soundtracks are composed so well, and they have, like, certain styles. Like, shop themes I usually like because they're a bit more upbeat. Then battle themes, depending on like the style. Usually, like with Shin Megami Tensei, those games have a lot of good music in them. That's kind of my style. But yeah, I don't know. I'll talk to people, or I'll show them a track, and they'll be like, "Oh, they'll be surprised if it's like from a game." I'll be like, "Oh, I didn't expect that to be game music," and I'm like, "It's a small pet peeve."
You, against the odds, have delved into this subgenre, and I think at least any listeners find your music on Spotify or Apple Music. With the way I'm talking about it, they might be a little bit underwhelmed with the numbers, but on SoundCloud, you really have numbers. You know, you're doing very well on SoundCloud. So I wonder almost if that's more, not only of an international platform, but just more of an experimental platform where people are more open to hearing new things.
Yeah, that's how I see it. Because, like, I'll go there to find new artists or new music. And originally when I got SoundCloud, I was obsessed with this piece of equipment I was using at the time. The Roland Sound Canvas 88, or SC88. I was using that for a while because it's used on a lot of game soundtracks. And so I was just looking at people that had that as a tag. So I was checking it out, and I was like, oh, these are really cool. So I thought it was really neat, because I couldn't really find that anywhere else. And usually those songs weren't put on like streaming services or anything. So they were only on SoundCloud. So I was like, oh, okay. So I like SoundCloud because it's just kind of like the Wild West.
Yeah, it's a bit more unhinged. But on the contrary, you can find way more specific music. You know, you can look up a tag like that. It's very hard to look up on Spotify or Apple Music underground hyper J-pop, or like, you know, like underground, you know, a danceable synth pop that's got elements of house and future bass. And I think you've definitely found your platform when it comes to SoundCloud. But for fans like me who are not well versed in SoundCloud at all, I really do appreciate that you do put out full projects on Spotify and Apple Music.
Yeah, I feel like it helps a lot. Like I don't know. I don't even know how to really check like stats on this. So it's kind of hard. I've always liked how immediate SoundCloud is and checking stats. It's just nice seeing like boom. Also, I feel really connected with some of the people that like I follow on there, because we'll check each other out. Like usually when I get a follower, I'll check out what they make to see if like, you know, I like their music, and then that way I can share them and just, you know, get into someone else. So, yeah.
So a lot of the time you found mutuals yourself through SoundCloud.
Mm. Yeah.
And I'm asking these questions because, again, I'm not well versed in SoundCloud at all, you know, and it's a foreign platform to me, definitely. And you are the first artist I've talked to who has found most of their success via SoundCloud.
Mm.
Do you find it kind of frustrating that big platforms like Spotify and Apple Music, they sort of promote the song themselves when it's more commercially viable? Or, you know, you know what I mean? If a song is more, I don't even want to say experimental because it's not a big genre thing. If a song is more appealing to a mass amount of people, it'll promote it itself, versus SoundCloud, you can find the music in your specific niche or subgenre. Do you find that frustrating?
It is. It's off-putting for sure. I try not to think too hard about it, but like, I don't know, for a while I was avoiding Spotify, even as like someone who listened to music. I mean, I've always liked buying physical copies. It's just like, I like collecting things. So, once my iPod started dying, I couldn't like burn CDs on, or I was like, there's no point in me trying to burn CDs onto my computer than throwing them on my iPod. So it's like, maybe I got Apple Music first, which was fine. I feel like it's not too intrusive on like what you listen to. You just get your albums and, you know, got Spotify, was overwhelmed. I was like, what is this? And then just kind of stick to SoundCloud and stuff. But I don't know. It's strange how like the biz, or like, I guess the promoting side and trying to use it. And I always hear people talk about the algorithms, and I'm like, I don't even know what those are. It's like,
oh, it's terrible. As somebody who has spent quite a lot of time, at least in the past couple of years, you know, trying to decode and wrap my head around how these platforms work, you know, even from TikTok to something like Pandora, almost anywhere where you can access music, it's like a lottery, you know, and you never really know what's going to work or what's going to hit the right way, and you may not ever achieve that lottery win again. And it's very difficult, or at least it was for me when I was starting out, to not determine my value by the numbers I was receiving on those apps. So sometimes I think it's just easier to step away from all of the platforms your music is on, including SoundCloud, and just say, I'm making music and hoping it'll make one person's day better, or hoping it'll affect one person. Is that a sentiment that you sometimes have?
Yeah, that's like a major thing, is like why I don't, I guess just how I do with like putting music up is like, I'm hope, because for me, I've always liked digging. Like, I'm not satisfied usually at the surface of like what something gives me. So like, especially when I'm trying to learn a genre, like I think that's the whole reason I got used to it, is like, I go back to like the very first artist. If there's like a newer version, or like a, I don't know, it's usually like it's new age version of that. I'll do research on that, and then if I find someone who I really like, I research them. So basically, I'm hoping my music can be found by people that are similar, I guess, that are like, they don't mind the dig, they're interested somehow by how weird it is.
Yeah, and certainly I was. But SoundCloud is definitely the platform for you as far as having people discover your area of expertise when it comes to me and my kidney. And I really have one final question for you here, because we talked about the future of live shows post-pandemic when it comes to both Faded Prisms and me and my kidney. But I want to know where you, as a solo artist, because we talked about you as a solo act, I want to know where you see yourself in 5 years when it comes to this project.
Well, I'm hoping by 5 years I'm able to have actually worked on like a project, like as scoring like an entire soundtrack or something in like a similar style of what I do now. And I'd hope to be able to do shows and find like a fun way to have people like want to come see it live. And then of course, like better production, have a couple new albums, not specific what genres yet. I know I want to do something orchestral in the future. So I have all these ideas that I want to work on. I'm just hoping I can continue making music, you know, ahead.
Well, I will definitely be at your future live shows, whether it's with Faded Prisms or me and my kidney. And I'm certain that you have not only the talent and the potential, but the drive to compose and score, because not only are you self-motivated, but you are a very fast learner. And you're infatuated with what you do. And that's just apparent in the conversation I've had with you. So that dream vocation, even though it seems, you know, how do I start? How do I get the connections I need? I'm certain that somebody within the next 5 years who can give you what you're looking for will find your music. And maybe even one of our listeners today.
Thank you. Yeah, that'd be great.
Thank you. I really appreciate our conversation today, Thomas. Thank you for making time.
Yeah, for sure.
You can connect with Thomas of Me and My Kidney on SoundCloud or Bandcamp, as well as any other major music streaming platform under his artist name, Me and My Kidney. Find him on Instagram at Cuck of Noodles. That's at CUCKOFNOODLES. And if you missed that or you'd like to re-listen to our interview, you can do so via our Instagram account at Nevada Noisemakers, where you can stream this interview and all of our interviews on demand anytime. We'll play Thomas off with one of his tracks titled Assorted Berry. Thanks for listening.